Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. You've been listening to live coverage of a press conference where federal law enforcement officials have announced the arrest of a suspect in custody right now for a series of mail bombs that were addressed to prominent Democrats. 56-year-old Cesar Sayoc of Florida was arrested outside an auto parts store this morning. He faces five counts, up to 58 years in prison. As you heard federal officials say, they do not believe that these devices were a hoax, and they continue this investigation to be ongoing. They say that there could be more of them, so they're urging people to stay vigilant and continue to send in tips to federal and local law enforcement if anything seems suspicious. Attorney General Jeff Sessions talked about it during this press conference moments ago, because officials have been asked, of course, whether these devices that were intercepted at mailing facilities were sent because of political leanings. And Attorney General Sessions said that these devices and the sending of this and all of this activity was unacceptable. Let's listen.
This is utterly unacceptable. Political violence or the threat of violence is antithetical to our vigorous system of self-government.
We want to turn now to some analysis of this breaking story from our Weekend Review panelists. Ed Lyons is with us. He's a Massachusetts Republican activist and political writer. Hi there.
Good to be back.
And also with us for his Weekend Review debut is Seti Warren, former mayor of Newton, an Iraq War veteran, and currently executive director of the Shorenstein Center on Media, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So this press conference, this arrest, these devices sent this week to prominent Democrats, I'm wondering if first we could get reaction from both of you about these incidents. What would you say, Ed?
Well, first of all, thanks to law enforcement. They found this guy quickly. They say they believe they have the right guy. And it was not nothing to coordinate all this effort across the country to find him and apprehend him. So my first reaction is just relief that we found someone that the authorities feel good about is the guy.
And what about you, Seti?
Well, I echo Ed's sentiments around law enforcement. I think my first reaction, and this comes from my experience in government as a mayor, is that we can't and should not jump to conclusions about motivation, about what the facts are. Oftentimes out of these incidents, in the first 24, 48 hours, we don't have the full, complete picture. And I realize we're going to talk a little bit about the meaning of this, but I would caution everyone to really allow for the facts to come out over the coming days around motivation, what this individual did specifically.
Of course, he is being charged with threatening a former president, and the officials during this press conference did mention former President Obama, former Secretary of State Clinton, of course, sort of sitting members of Congress, George Soros, Robert De Niro. There's a wide range of very vocal Trump critics here. And the New York Times is reporting that he's a registered Republican. And yes, we don't want to jump to conclusions, but some of the charges would suggest that this was politically motivated. Ed, what do you say about that?
It almost certainly has to be. If you put this list of names in front of somebody last week and said, what do these people have in common?
Right.
I think anybody who is politically active, I would say, my goodness, that's kind of the enemies list from Fox News or from President Trump, that's what they have in common. There's no evidence this Florida man has anything in common with any of these people that he is alleged to have sent these devices to. He got the enemies list from someone else, and we kind of know where that enemies list is coming from. So we don't know all of his motivations or his state of mind, but I think we know enough to say that this is sort of the fruit of the poisonous tree of our national politics right now.
Mm. Teddy, what do you think about this being politically motivated? And does it say something about the state of politics right now, which we'll get into a little bit deeper in a moment? But I'm just wondering, in terms of the meaning here, what do you take from it?
Well, I think I always think about this, what comes after these incidents. How do we treat one another? What are we talking about? What's the discourse? I think about what comes after we learn the facts. So I think, yes, this is certainly appears to be politically motivated. Certainly President Trump has named all these people that has got the packages sent. But I want to offer a different take on this. we shouldn't just focus on what President Trump has been saying and tweeting and doing and what he's going to do after. What we should focus on is how we're treating one another. We can't assume that anyone that voted for President Trump supports his tweets and supports the actions of this individual. So, again, what are we talking about? What's the discourse coming out of this, I think, is most important.
Okay, well, I know you may not want to talk about President Trump, but I want to play a little bit of what President Trump said this week about this, because we didn't really know much of anything until today when this arrest happened. And this started Monday with the discovery of an explosive device addressed to George Soros. But then Wednesday night in Wisconsin at a campaign-style rally, this is what the president said about these devices as more of them were being found.
The media also has a responsibility to set a civil tone and to stop the endless hostility and constant negative and oftentimes false attacks and stories. Have to do it.
Ed, what do you think of that comment by the president Wednesday night that the media have some responsibility here?
In the way that he means it, he's wrong. I understand if people want to talk about that, our political media ecosystem is creating the wrong kinds of outputs, and those are incompatible with sort of what we want out of our politics. I don't mind saying that the media can get better, but of course, who's the media? Is it Breitbart? Is it WBUR? Is it the New York Times? Is it your local paper? I think the media is very, very amorphous. I don't like that term anymore. I think what Trump is trying to do is delegitimize the attacks against him. And that's terrible. But I do think that it does matter, as Seti said, how we talk about politics, how we talk to people about politics. But I do think there is a huge alienated fringe that we aren't going to talk to, and they're being motivated by what they're seeing on the television screens, and that's really bad.
Hmm. And let's talk about how this might trickle down, if you will, to local politics. There are deep divisions locally, and we heard a lot of that this week. We had a poll this week, a WBUR Boston Globe UMass Boston debate on question one, and that's the ballot question that would mandate nurse staffing ratios in Massachusetts. We had two veteran nurses debating this, and needless to say, it was tense. We have a bit of tape, a brief exchange between Donna Kelly Williams, who's with the Mass Nurses Association, who supports a yes vote on question one, and Nancy Gayden, who's from Boston Medical Center and is with the No on One campaign.
There will literally be a time where a nurse has the number of patients that the law calls for, and she will be not allowed to pull another patient in from the waiting area or take a patient from an ambulance.
No nurse at any time would ever refuse to care for a patient, Nancy. Never, ever, ever.
And then after the mics went off in the studio, it was still very tense. The tension was palpable, if I can say that. And now, you've seen this ballot question, I assume both of you. Millions of dollars spent. Very, very divided. Seti, are we seeing, first off the question, and with that, are we seeing some of this nastiness that's happening on a local level trickle down into some of our local issues here?
There's no question. I often tell people when I started as mayor years back in 2009 to now, the sort of divisive nature of conversations that are local have really become ugly. Look, two things I'd say about it. Number one, unfortunately, candidates and political operatives are in fact rewarded for saying the nastiest, toughest things through social media on the air. Why is that? Because there's a market for that. And unfortunately, they get the front page of various publications. They get to be on the air because they're so divisive. And I think there's an ecosystem that has been developed and developing that encourages this type of divisiveness. There's a way to push back strongly without it getting tense and personal. And I think that's a challenge moving forward.
So did the president have a point? Media might have some responsibility here. Maybe we should stop putting this stuff on the front page and having it make sense.
So I would push back against the President Trump making a good point on attacking the media. because I think Ed is correct. His rationale for the attacks are different. They are personal for him, not the concern about the ecosystem. And by the way, I want to be clear. We should call out when the president does attack institutions. We should say what he's doing and very clearly, whether it's the FBI, whether it's journalists who have a job to do that is very important for our democracy. But what I am saying is we have to look at how we're treating one another. whether we are a political, Ed and I are sitting here, I'm a Democrat, he's a Republican, how do we have a conversation about difficult issues, right? Mm-hmm. How do we have a conversation with our neighbor who maybe voted for Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump? How do we have those conversations where they're civil and they don't turn the way we're talking about?
Right, right. And how do we, when you're surrounded by this, you know, presumably to the point where someone would be sending out explosive devices right. to those that may be in disagreement? Ed?
Well, don't forget, we are surrounded by the answer. We are on an awesome program that talks about politics, where everybody is civil, where it is productive, where there is an audience that buys into the ethics that the people who run this station have broadcast to everybody. So it can work. This is actually the answer. It can be replicated in many other ways, person to person, in other kinds of institutions. But I'm honored to be able to sit amongst people that are part of the solution. The problem is the rest of the ecosystem has the wrong incentives, and people have been dragged into this national brain of politics where everybody is connected and every storm of activity electrifies the whole rest of the country. We're told some county official in the middle of nowhere said something racist, and we all get mad about it. I'm like, my God, that was a county official in the middle of nowhere. Why am I supposed to get angry about that? The firewalls are gone. And I think that we need to figure out how to take national politics out of everything else we do. There's no reason why we have to be downstream from the awfulness of national politics here in Massachusetts. There's no reason why the debates have gone badly in this state for the past couple of weeks. We have our own political culture here, and we have to stand up for it.
I want to go to another local race where there was some tension also this past week, and that was in the Attorney General's race here in Massachusetts. Democrat Maura Healey, the incumbent, her challenger, Republican Attorney Jay McMahon. They also had a debate, a WBUR Boston Globe, UMass Boston debate, and we have a little clip here of what was likely their sharpest exchange when McMahon criticized Healey for her office's lawsuits against President Trump, including the suit against the president's travel ban. Let's listen.
That is against our public safety interest. And in essence, she would leave us at the mercy of these savages coming into Massachusetts. And I got to tell you, safety is my number one concern.
That's time. And that was me yelling. Here's Healey. This is the response from Attorney General Healey.
It didn't take me long to sue Donald Trump because it didn't take Donald Trump but a few days or a few weeks to do something illegal or unconstitutional. And that's where we've been. And that's why you see the 36 lawsuits.
And so I want to say the audience here, some folks were yelling. Some folks had to be spoken to because it was raucous. It's a level of nastiness that I don't recall seeing much before. And do you wonder, or what do you do about that? What do you do about that level of nastiness, the level of decorum that we seem to have gotten to in our public debates, our political debates at this point? What do you think, Sonny?
One of the things I did after the 2016 election, I decided to hold a couple of conversations of Clinton-Trump conversations. People that voted for Trump, people that voted for Clinton, brought them together. As it turned out, in some of these conversations, they had more in common than they actually, where they differed. We have to get to a place where we can actually dialogue without the labels of, where we're getting to a point where we're insulting people. I mean, some of the terminology used in that clip was quite offensive, calling people savages. But I do believe we've got to create a space coming out of the midterms in 2020 where we actually bring human beings together, get off Twitter, get off social media. And I think that there are entities that can do that. I think there's a leadership question with our local electeds, but then also organizations that promote, commonality, bring people together with different parties. I think we've got to restitch some of the community that is coming up, fraying apart right now.
Right. Sounds like a lot of work ahead.
I think it's important work.
Mm. Ed, would you agree?
Yeah, Jay McMahon is a piece of work. You should have heard his convention speech. My God. We should never have picked him as our nominee. I voted for Dan Chores, of course. He was a reasonable man who cares what he sounds like. I think we have to strengthen institutions. You have to create space, as Seti said, but we have to defend that space. We have to say if you're an institution, whether you're the Mass GOP or whether you're a nonprofit or whether you're in media, you have to defend. You have to have boundaries. You have to say we have rules about how we want to treat each other in here. and we have to be responsible. What happened, how we got Jay McMahon, is because that the Republicans who voted in primaries and the convention have been sort of trained to respond to the kind of rhetoric that he uses. He's one of many politicians across the country being picked because of his rhetoric, because of this rhetoric, because everybody has the wrong incentives here. I mean, we even had a better choice. It wasn't like McMahon ran alone. So I just think that we have to look to institutions and say, what are your ethics? Are you willing to defend them? Are you willing to work against these things coming down from the national level? Are you willing to be the good citizen and try to create space for productive civil conversations? And a lot of institutions are failing.
I want to just go to another breaking story briefly before we end here, and that's a story today of Columbia Gas. State officials in Columbia Gas announced today that November 19th deadline that we heard about for gas to be restored throughout the Merrimack Valley has to be pushed back, in some cases almost another month. No big surprise there. Folks didn't expect that November 19th was the most realistic date for all service to be restored, but it's been 6 weeks since overpressurized gas caused explosions and fires that left one person dead, thousands still without gas. And some folks say they're frustrated. Lawrence Mayor Dan Rivera says he's really concerned that Columbia Gas is not doing enough. Let's listen.
They need to cut checks faster. The amount of time people are waiting to get reimbursed for items that they're spending every day and that businesses are waiting to get their lives back in order is unacceptable.
Ceddie Warren, as a mayor of a city in Massachusetts, you can probably sympathize with what he's going through here, 6 weeks with so many people affected. Who's going to be most affected by this politically, do you think?
Well, Dan is someone I know quite well, and I know he's fighting for his folks. I think from a political standpoint, I want to say something a little bit more broadly. At the end of the day, these pipes, these gas pipes that are underneath many of our cities and towns, they're old, they're antiquated. I remember really pushing to figure out how we repair these gas leaks that are all over the state and quite dangerous. How do we push the utilities to do this? And the fact is, there's a bit of a challenge here because if you push the entities to repair those, the ratepayers mm-hmm. pay for it. So
right.
We need to have a national and state solution to get these gas pipes fix the infrastructure. It's easy to ignore things you can't see in politics. And when a disaster like this happens, people start, being activated. Politically, who do I think is impacted? Look, at the end of the day, every elected official from the governor to the mayor to the city councilors and all the rest, in the end, must call for a solution on repairing these pipes. Mm. And if they don't, in addition to Dan Rivera pushing for more action, if they don't, they should be held accountable.
Right.
State reps, everyone across the board. This is a moment where we should really gather this energy through this disaster and push for resolution the repair of these pipes.
Ed Lyons, your thoughts?
First of all, Dan is a fantastic mayor. I met him years ago on the Baker transition team. I really root for him. I think he really cares about his people. I think the politicians are looking good in terms of how they're managing the crisis, but I agree with Seti. I do think that, we see this all the time. A bridge collapses. What do we do? That these pipes can be 80, 90 years old, gas pipes. This happens. Well, what do we do? America has a great deal of infrastructure, many categories of infrastructure that is all aging. And we keep hearing these stories of little failures all the time. And I think what we need to figure out is how we handle all this. How fast can we start fixing it? Or who pays for it? What is the just way to handle all of this? And I think, to Seti's point, I agree that we need politicians to sort of not just simply, handle the crisis and then wait for the next one, but to say, well, what are we doing about all these infrastructure items? And what is a realistic plan?
Well, we don't have time to do all of our hubbubs this week, but I do want to play a little bit of tape that would have been my hubbub. It is my hubbub, and, I'm here, so I'm going to do mine. So this is from Tuesday night. Jimmy Kimmel played a compilation. We have to do this because it's Game 3 of the World Series. So did you guys hear this? He played a compilation of Los Angeles broadcasters trying to speak in a Boston accent. All right? It's great. Ready? You ready? We're going to hear a little bit.
The Dodgers will take on the Red Sox first on their turf right there in Boston.
That's right. Yeah. Boston, right?
Boston.
Boston.
Yeah.
Game one of the World Series from Fenway Park.
Fenway Park to see the green monster up close.
Let's see if we can find some wicked smart Dodgers fans.
Have some clam chowder.
Clam chowder.
Clam chowder.
So how'd they do? Does anybody ever get the Boston answer?
Pretty bad.
Sadie, you think
pretty
it's bad?
Pretty bad. I'm thumbs
yeah,
down.
That's thumbs down, too. That wasn't so great.
Not good.
All right. Well, I think it was it was supposed to be. So I want to say thanks so much for being with us. Ed Lyons, Massachusetts Republican political activist and political writer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, Seti Warren, former mayor of Newton, former Iraq War veteran, or current Iraq War veteran as well, currently the executive director of the Shorenstein Center on Media, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice debut. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.